Moving into our second of 3 hours. Welcome back. Good morning. Good afternoon. What's up? I am Jim Rome. Talk some hockey in a minute, but the big story of the morning is the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour are merging. You heard me correctly. Have you not seen that? That does sound pretty shocking, right? I made the point that it is shocking. Shocking as hell, but not surprising. Here's some more reaction. Sean in Wichita writes, I'm not sure I heard this right, but did the PGA attain the HIV this morning? No, Sean, you did not hear that right. The PGA did not attain the HIV. The PGA merged with the LIV. I could see whereby you might have made that or gotten that somehow confused. They did not. The PGA did not, quote, attain the HIV. It merged with the LIV. Oh, this is what I like. I like when you have a really convoluted, complicated topic and one person can just kind of swoop right in and explain it all. Cut through all the BS and explain to me how it really is. I like that. That makes my job easier. Steven the 602's got it. Hey, Romy Rome. The PGA caved because they saw the level of competition players like Brooks, Phil, and the others brought to the tour. The PGA players of today are not that same level, including Rory. At Jim Rome, wore the new LPGA Tour. LIV PGA. Thanks, Steve. Thank you very much for clearing that up. Except you're wrong. That is certainly not the reason they caved. They didn't look at 52-year-old Phil Mickelson and say, we're bleeding. Phil's making us look bad by racking up all these wins. We need 52-year-old Phil Mickelson back. That's not what happened.
You know, toughen up.
Nor did they look at those CW TV ratings and think, oh, crap. They're killing us on TV. All the eyeballs are going there. And yes, Brooks did win a major. That was very nice for them. But they didn't cave and merge because one of their players won a big event. You really think the PGA looked at Brooks Koepka's win and thought, oh, hit the panic button. Let's merge. Everything's ripping apart. No, that's not why they did this. Nor did they look at Phil and say, man, we got to have that guy back.
Hefty's
52. Got to have him back. He lost a lot of weight. No, man, they saw the stack of money. Why is this so hard to figure out? They saw the stack of money. Just own it. Everybody own that. That's what this is. They saw the stack of money. It's not because they love the team format. Again, did any of you even know they had teams? What team is Hefty on? Who are his teammates? Who's the captain? What's that little dumb logo of theirs look like? Have you ever seen it? What color are their polo shirts? You don't know the answers to any of that. They weren't a threat. They weren't like, hey, man, I'll tell you what. They're not who we thought they were. This is a real threat to us. They are building a competitive brand, and I can see the future, and they will own us. 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, we won't even exist. Merge now. The hell, that's the way that went. And no, they didn't see these other players, and that Rory's not what he used to be. Oh, no. Okay. All right, Steve. Rory's not what he used to be, but Hefty's tearing it up. Let's merge. Oh, okay. I agree with you. Rory's not what he used to be. Rory does have issues, especially finishing. But that's not why they merged. Money. That's why they merged. Come on. Hey, Rome. Do you happen to have any gray poop on? Signed, Jay Monahan.
My heart goes out.
I'm just saying
them.
Both sides are hypocrites. They both are. Because both sides made it seem like the other side was the worst thing ever, and they were suing the hell out of each other. Oh, but now they're coming together, so what changed? Now they like each other? Now they respect each other? No, the money changed. The stack kept getting higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. And again, I want to play this one more time. This was an interview that Jim Nance did with Monahan almost a year ago to the date when this came up, when the LIV Tour became an entity. This is what the PGA Tour commissioner had to say about that then.
Let me ask about this. There was a story that was first reported in the New York Post yesterday by Brian Wacker about a 9/11 coalition of families and survivors of the 2001 terrorist attacks. 9/11 families united sent a letter to the representatives of Phil, Dustin, Bryson, Reed, and others, quote, expressing their outrage towards the golfers for participating in the new league and accusing them of sports washing and betraying the United States, end quote. And that's gotten a lot of steam over the last 24 hours. That story first reported again in the New York Post. How much did you talk to your players about the possible ramifications if they sign on with the new league?
Well, I talked to players. I've talked at a player meeting, and I've talked to a number of players individually for a long period of time. And I think you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that there are significant implications. And as it relates to the families of 9/11, I have two families that are close to me that lost loved ones. And so my heart goes out to them. And I would ask, you know, any player that has left or any player that would ever consider leaving, have you ever had to apologize for being a member of the PGA Tour?
Have you ever had to apologize for being the commissioner of the PGA Tour? What are you going to tell those players when you said that to them at that time? What do you tell them today? Oh, that's right. They weren't consulted. Otis in Austin has a theory. Otis, of all people. Check this out. Vance Mack. As far as my comments about the families who lost loved ones in the 9/11 tragedy, people die every day. People don't win the lottery every day. Signed, Jay Monahan. Well done.
People die every day.
Well done, Otis. That's accurate. And again, don't drag me into this and talk about my politics. I'm talking about what the commissioner said on record. And the guys within his own tour who did not leave, who turned down all that money. Crazy money. Life-changing money for a lot of them. And they chose not to because they thought they were doing the right thing. Only to find out that that same commissioner took that same money a year later. All right, so there's your big topic. If you want to react to it, go right ahead. 1-800-636-8686. Chris in Scottsdale. Liv and PGA are buddying up. What's next? A tandem smack-off call with Vic and Rick? I don't know.
Who loves you, baby?
You know, maybe if I took that $5,000 first prize and made it $100,000, maybe they would. Maybe they would. JJ Sportmo has a very important question. Hey, Jim, putting LIV unethical and dirty money aside, does this mean that professional golfers can now wear shorts? I don't know how the negotiation went, but they can on the LIV Tour. Maybe. Maybe. Is that something that you want to see? Is that part of the reason why they did merge? Because of all these amazing ideas that either they hadn't thought of or could have never implemented otherwise. I don't know. Was that why Hefty was such a smashing hit on the LIV side? Because Hefty, he was rocking shorts? Yo, Hefty, show us some calf.
Hefty.
All right, 1-800-636-8686. In addition to that, there are other things. Let's go to the phones. Get you in here. Let's go to Will in Richmond. By the way, use the phones, 1-800-636-8686. I'd love to hear from you. I've got Christian Walker, a first baseman for the Diamondbacks, coming up at 11 o'clock, so we are open between now and then. So use the phones. We go to Richmond. Will, Good to have you, Will. How are you?
Yo, Ron. What's up, dude?
What's up, dude?
Yeah, actually, they call me the tow truck.
They do?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it takes the strength of a tow truck to drag my massive package around all day.
That's not a good car. No. You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
This dude. Dude, he just played Tommy. He played Tommy. Tommy thought he had a guy who was in market on topic. Instead, it was just a fake self-glosser. Because it's a fake self-glosser, he does not go in with the rest of them. He lied a couple of times. He also said that he was a fake legendary caller holding on to a golden ticket. Then he had a fake, I want to talk about the topic of the day, lie to Tommy. And then he was a fake self-glosser. Like, there was nothing about that that was true. He lied all the way through it. Try somebody else. Let's go to Ramona Matthew. Hey, Matthew, what's up? How are you?
Jim, how are you doing?
Good, dude. How about you?
I'm doing just fine, but hey, listen, I know you don't take requests, and I would never besmirch myself to do that, but the next time you do a Hacksaw Reset, could you please mention Ramona? And a lot of folks don't know it. It's just a little tiny town, but my daughters love when you do Hacksaw Resets. I mean, they will literally put themselves in stitches when you do a Hacksaw Reset. So just please give us a shout-out. I know we're just a little cowboy town out in the middle of nowhere, but if you could, man, you'd make my daughter's day.
So, Matthew, I can do that for you. Absolutely. Let me share something with you. I told this story the other day, but you know, based on how people use the show, listen to the show, some of you do listen all day long, all 3 hours, every single day. I know this. Some of you listen 12 minutes a day. But it's really funny that you said the next time you do a butter knife impression, can you insert our little town in, Ramona? Because my daughters think it's hilarious and we're from this little town and we would be honored if you would allow that. The answer is yes. I will. I can and I will. But what's funny about that is my son Jake, who just graduated from Madison, from Wisconsin, has been doing a little research, a little work. He wants to make a few suggestions to the brand. He's trying to prove himself to me. And he was going through some clips and he heard me do the butter knife. And he hits me up on text. He's like, why are you talking like this? Why are you using that voice? And I had to explain to him who the butter knife was and why I did that. He never heard of the butter knife, as many people have not, but he had neither. And then last night, when I had a few moments, I tried to pick up that thread from the day before. I mentioned that I couldn't get Logan to respond to me at all. And Jake says to me, if you want to get him to respond to you via text, you're wasting your time. He won't, ever. Snap him. Snap him. I'm like, all right. So that's when I got a snap of Logan face planted on a couch in the midst of graduation week. And I put that on my Instagram live, or I should say my Instagram story. And I said, that's why you got to follow me on Instagram. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not a big fan of the app right now. I was kind of fighting Snap yesterday. And I hit Jake back with, man, you know what? I really hate this app.
Snap face.
If I'm being honest. He's like, come on, man. Stay in the fight. Don't give in. Don't give up. But sure enough, when I went looking for Logan and I snap faced him, he hit me right back.
Snap face.
Hit me right back. So maybe I should not give up on that yet. Let's try another phone call. It's not been our best phone call segment, but, you know, to quote my kid, I'm going to stay in the fight. Can't give up yet. Let's go to Art in Tennessee. What's going on, Art? How are you?
Pretty good, Jim. How you doing, man?
Great, dude. Great.
How does United Federation of Professional Golfers sound to you?
How do you mean?
What I mean is, why don't golfers get together and start their own organization instead of being pawns for these other rich fat F's. You know, their strength in numbers. If they would just get together and start their own organization, don't be let themselves be controlled by outsiders. They could have their strength in numbers. They could have one of the most powerful organizations in this country. Golf has that potential. They could bring in enough money to build their own golf courses, build their own small town, have entertainment. They could do things that would blow your mind if they would just get together and not be controlled by other organizations. You know, let's get rid of the Goodells and Don Kings and Jerry Jones. You know, they could do amazing things if they would just get together.
All right, so let me respond to you, Art. I appreciate you. Nice job, Art. I don't know that we need to worry about Don King so much at this point. I don't think that Don King is inflicting too much damage at this point. Roger Goodell works for the owners. So you can't, when you say, let's get rid of the Roger Goodells, he is actually an employee. He works for the owners. He does what they want. In terms of if you're saying, why don't these guys just unionize? I would say this. I can't imagine they trust their fearless leader at this point. Hey, if you're a PGA Tour pro, Don King's 91 right now. I don't think we need to worry about how much harm and damage he's doing to the sport. But if you're a PGA Tour player, how are you going to believe anything that Monahan says going forward? There's your leader. How is that guy going to lead you anywhere? How are you going to believe a word that guy says when he was the one that said, don't do it, don't do it. We're not doing this. This is not who we are. This is not what we represent. This is not who we're going to do business with. This is not how we're doing business. We don't want blood money. We are not going to be a party to sports washing. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And then what if you're one of those guys that turned down all that money? What if you're Tiger Woods? You know, you could argue that, yeah, $700 million. Tiger didn't need that money. Just don't argue to me that Tiger could pull $800 mil out of the ashtray in his car. $800 mil is $800 mil. He's not walking around with that in his back pocket. You know, I mentioned Will Zalatoris, over $100 mil. Rory, a half a bill because they were led to believe that hey, this is the right thing to do. Taking down money is the wrong thing to do. I'm just saying, and again, I'm saying, I'm not going hard. I'm calling both sides hypocrites. I'm calling this the greatest hypocritical circus I've ever seen on both sides. Both sides were killing the other side, justifying the choices they made, the decisions they made. I'm just saying the PGA could not have been more clear about why they're not doing it, and yet within 1 year they give in. And no, it's not because Hefty was playing so well. And it's not because the LIV Tour was an imminent threat to them. It's because of the money, of course. Let's not make this any more difficult than it is. It's the money. It's almost always the money, right? All right, when we come back, I want to talk some hockey. You can stay on this topic if you want, but I'm going to move on to Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. That's not what I expected last night. I expected a lot more from the Panthers than I got. I did not expect them to come out and fall behind 4-0 after Game 1. Yet that's exactly what happened. The Dell Technologies Summer Sale event is on with limited quantity deals on top tech. Save on select PCs powered by the latest Intel Core processors. Thank you, Alvin. You know, like thin and light XPS 13 laptops, Inspiron laptops, and 2-in-1s plus. You also get savings on select accessories, free shipping, and monthly payment options with Dell Preferred Account. It is the perfect season to power your passions during Dell's Summer Sale event. Save today by calling 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL. Offered to U.S. residents by WebBank, who determines qualifications for and terms of credit.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so again, I'm pointing out the hypocrisy on both sides, and you're turning it into a completely political issue. when I've done everything in my power my entire career to keep politics out of the show. Isn't that ironic? Hey, Rome, that's the problem a lot of us conservatives have with liberals on CBS. And these corporate liberals who preach principles and values and pretend they're not in the business for profits, as if that is so evil. The problem is they are disingenuous and phony and ignore the hypocrisy of their stance publicly. Eric in Castle Rock. Again, Eric, trying to decode anything you say is challenging in the very least. But let me try and address this. Even more emphatic are those of you who are coming at me with, you know what, Rome? This is exactly why I hate your guts, man. I hate you, Rome. And here's why I hate you. Because you know you would have taken that money. You know you would have. Let's not confuse you would have taken that money with I would have taken that money. How the hell do you know what I would have done? How the hell do you know that I would have taken that money? Just because you know you would take that money doesn't mean I would take that money. So don't bring that crap around here either. If you want to hate me, go ahead and hate me. I don't care. I can't control that. I don't care that you hate me. But listen to what I'm saying. I'm pointing out the hypocrisy. I am pointing out the hypocrisy on both sides. I am not turning this into a political issue of conservatives and liberals and the liberals of CBS. I'm pointing out what the PGA Tour said and that they connected it to 9/11 as one of the reasons why they would not do so. The commissioner did so in a live interview with their corporate partner, with Jim Nance. And I'm pointing out that Liv said, we're not doing this. This is not the right way to do it. They treat us terribly. We're doing this to grow the sport, which was a big lie as well. But for those of you coming in here to say, man, I hate you. I hate you, Rome. I hate your show. I hate you because you know you're lying to us. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you how I feel. And I'm pointing out hypocrisy. So whatever you're going to do in your life, whatever choice you're going to make, that's great. That's fine. You make your choice. We all make our choices. But don't tell me, just because you know you would take your money, that money, that you know that I would, and that I'm lying to you. Take that somewhere else. And by the way, if it's that toxic to you, and you hate me, and you hate the show that much, why are you still here? Why are you listening to somebody who you think lies to you? Make that make sense. I'm pointing out the hypocrisy of both sides. I'm pointing out how toxic it was between the two sides. I'm pointing out all the litigation flying back and forth between the two sides. And I roll out of bed one morning, a year later, and they're on the same page. They're in the same bed. They're together. This was still a thing. They were going back and forth on Twitter. Phil was going at Rory on Twitter over the weekend. That was 48 hours ago. And yet now they're both in bed together. Well, Rory's not. Yeah, I'm waiting for the reaction. I want to hear the reaction from Rory. I want to hear the reaction from Tiger. I want to hear the reaction from all those guys that left all that money on the table. And that whole thing about, hey, man, you're such a liar. You know you take the money. I don't know. Rory didn't. Zalatoris didn't. Tiger didn't. Not everybody did. And for those who did, they got over. Man, they got theirs. They got their money. They took a little heat. And all of a sudden now, the blood money won. It stacked high enough. 1-800-636-8686. I'm just saying, I just think it's really, really ironic that you're turning it into a political issue when I've worked so hard my entire career to keep politics out of this show. And by the way, you don't know me the way you think you know me. Yeah, you listen to me every single day. You hear my takes. You have no idea how I vote. You don't even know how I'm registered. You have no idea. You don't know what I would do. But you hate me because you know what I would do. Sure you don't. You don't. Still ahead, I was going to do a player profile today, but this golf story kind of threw a wrench into that. I do want to talk about the Stanley Cup Final. I do want to talk about the NBA Finals. Maybe the Grizzlies and more. Phone lines are open. But listen, I'm not in the business of driving people away when it's really challenging to get them to come here. But if you hate me that much and I make you so miserable, wouldn't you want to do something that made you feel better? Or are you just miserable and are you not happy unless you are miserable? But whatever you do, don't tell me you know what I would do, because you don't know me like that and you don't know what I would do. By the way, you don't know anybody like that except yourself, except the one you're looking at in the mirror. You don't know anybody like that. And I know, because if this world has taught us anything the last few years, we don't know people. People that I thought that I knew, I didn't know. And I know you don't know me like that. And I know you don't know what I would do. So don't tell me you know what I would do. Hate me all you want. I can't change that. But don't say you hate me because you know what I would do, because you don't know what I would do. All right, time for a sports update. Here is the latest. Here is...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Discover credit cards can do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right, everything you've earned doubled. The cash back from trips, restaurants all doubled. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. All right, let's change topics for a minute. I mean, you could stay on that topic. I'm going to move on to something else, but we can still hit the topic of the day. Let's talk some hockey. Now, if you're not watching the Stanley Cup Final, as always, that's a bad choice. That's a bad decision. It's always great. This Cup Final, though, is spicy as hell. Chippy as bleep. Downright cantankerous out there. As an example, last night's game, Game 2 had 148 total penalty minutes between both teams. And if it sounds like that's a lot, it's because it's a hell of a lot. It's the most penalty minutes in a Stanley Cup Final game since 1986. And the Panthers alone now have the most penalty minutes of any team through the first two games of any Cup Final ever. And they've been playing for the Cup for over 100 years. It's been a bleep show. That's how chippy it is out there through the first two games. Unfortunately, that bleep show is not exactly working in Florida's favor, because they're getting absolutely stomped so far. By the end of Game 2, they were looking at a 7-2 deficit and had only six guys left on their bench. Everybody else had gotten their asses run back to the locker room. It's almost like Florida completely ignored their head coach. Paul Maurice's comments after Game 1, in case you missed them, and apparently his own guys did miss them, let me run them back right now, because that was some pretty good advice at that time.
We lost the first game in the Boston series well and got a little better. Then we lost two more, got a little better. Everybody just f***ing breathe. Right? I feel like you people have been here, you're tight. To loosen you up a little bit.
Let's say that about the entire audience of this program. Everybody just bleeping breathe.
Everybody just
Man,
breathe.
Can we just all just bleeping breathe?
Everybody just like, breathe.
Just bleeping breathe.
Everybody just breathe.
Through the nose, out through the mouth.
Everybody just breathe.
Everybody just bleeping breathe. Great advice, or it would have been if any of his guys listened to it. It still actually holds true. Remember, this is the same Florida team that came back from down 3-1 in the first round against the alleged best team ever. The same Florida team that had just ran off 11 wins in 12 games heading into this series. So they're not dead yet. Not dead yet, though history would suggest that if you're down 2-0, you're not dead, but you are plugged into a wall and somebody is looking to come into the room and rip the cord. No, they're not dead yet. Not dead, can't quit. But they are getting hammered. But not dead, can't quit. That said, the series has been a disaster so far for the Panthers. It's not just because they're down 2-0 and getting their asses kicked. It's how and why they're down 2-0. As an example, nobody saw Sergei Bobrovsky struggling enough to get yanked before the third period of game two. That's not what I expected from that guy. In fact, he was supposed to be one of the biggest reasons they had a legitimate look at ripping the Stanley Cup. He was supposed to be the backbone. He's one of their stars. He's one of the guys they need to show up huge. Except last night, he showed up like a sieve and got ripped, taken out of the game. I did not expect that at all. And then nobody, I think, saw Matthew Tkachuk racking up the most combined penalty minutes ever through the first two games of the Cup Final. Look, I understand who this guy is. Unbelievable player. Incredible player. Very, very physical player. Very aggressive player. I get that. I understand that. I know who he is, and I know what his game is. And I know that's why he and they are where they are. So I understand all that. Here's what else I understand. Well, I understand that he has been on the wrong side of some questionable calls. And we can get to that in a second. However, Chucky literally has more penalty minutes than time on ice so far in this series. And obviously, having your best offensive weapon and your most critical guy spend more time in the sin bin than on the actual ice is not exactly a winning formula. In fact, it's a losing formula. It's a formula for getting your ass kicked. Which brings us to the hit. The hit that everybody's talking about today. Chucky on Jack Eichel. Here's how arguably the two best players in the series crashing into one another sounded in real time.
Fuck, stop! I think Barkov unable to get it through!
Him with the puck here. He's going to fall right into that hit. It's a good, solid, clean check from Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah.
So it looked bad. It looked bad. In fact, it looked really bad. But my guy Edzo and company nailed it live. It was a totally clean hit. Vicious, but clean. Violent, but clean. It's Chucky. That's what Chucky does, man. Chucky did nothing wrong there. Head on a bleeping swivel. You obviously cannot skate right through the middle of the ice, the center of the ice, with your head down, with Chucky on the ice at the same time, and not expect that to happen. Which is why I understand Panther fan getting all bent that somehow Chucky ends up with 12 penalty minutes as a result of that play. Tkachuk makes a clean hit. Then Vegas retaliates. They've got to protect their star. Chucky defends himself, and somehow he gets a roughing penalty and a misconduct. 12 total penalty minutes for what was a totally clean hit. And don't take that from me, even though y'all seem to know what I would do. Always. Don't take it from me. Take it from the guy who got hit. Take it from Jack Eichel himself. He said the hit was clean.
Yeah, you know, just get the puck on the right, took a couple crossovers, kind of toe-picked a little bit, and, you know, saw him at the last minute. He finishes a hard, you know, what I saw was a clean check on me, and it's a physical game. You're going to get hit sometimes, so you just kind of move on, you know.
So the guy who got laid out, the guy who got splattered, said, I've got no problem with it. It's clean. No controversy here. The dude who got smoked even said it was clean. Yet Chucky winds up out of the game for 12 minutes as a result of that play. Panther fans got to be like, Andrew Brandt, like, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here? The guy who got laid out said it was clean. What are we doing here? Why are you taking our guy off the ice for 12 more minutes?
What are we doing here?
I get it, Panther fan.
What am I here for? What are we doing here?
However, the second misconduct that Chucky took last night, a little different. You know, like the first one he took in the series. See, once you're picking up more than a 10-minute misconduct per game, something is off. You can argue about what happened after the Eichel hit, but what you can't really argue about is Chucky off the ice as much as he is. Like, you can't argue that that's his game, so that's a good thing for Florida. His game is not being off the ice more than it is being on the ice. All right? His game is being very physical and taking the game to the opponent. His game is not being off the ice more than it is being on the ice. And I'm not asking this guy to change who he is. I'm just asking that he stay on the ice. Because if he can't, the Panthers have no shot at getting back in this series. But it's off the rails as things have been for Florida. They've been just that smooth for Vegas. Vegas is feeling it right now. In fact, Vegas is even spiking the ball on Twitter right now. The Knights got another couple of goals from Jonathan Marchessault last night, a.k.a. the same Jonathan Marchessault who swiped from the Panthers in the expansion draft, a fact which Vegas reminded the world of yet again on Twitter during Game 2. At Golden Knights tweets, from the Florida Panthers, the Vegas Golden Knights select Jonathan Marchessault. All caps. I mean, the series is so chippy. It's even chippy on social media in-game. The series is so chippy, it's even chippy for the reporters who are trying to cover it. Like that South Florida CBS reporter who busted out a Heisman stiff arm on some drunk clown trying to climb into her shot.
Yeah, so a very loud crowd here at T-Mobile Arena. Obviously, Vegas fans enjoying the less than ideal night for the Panthers. Falling to the Knights. No, right? Let's get into the highlights here.
She had to fend off this drunk who tried to hijack her shot. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, pushed him right out of the shot. I mean, like a stiff arm right to the center of the earth. Some Derrick Henry stuff right there. It's not the kind of fan you want to be. That's a jackass. If you haven't seen the video of that, you have to check it out because that jackass got absolutely owned. Vegas fan, you're great fans, most of you. I know you're all hyped. You should be. I know the Panthers are all fired up too and trying to do anything they can to find a physical edge in that series. The Cup Finals are crazy. I get it. That's why I love them. That's why I'll never miss one. But can we all remember one thing, please? Can we all just remember to bleeping breathe, all right?
Everybody just f***ing breathe.
2-0. Not dead, can't quit. Except Panther fan. Just know this. That was not just a matter of Vegas holding serve. You're getting worked. You're getting dominated. If your star goalie does not get right immediately, if in fact he is still your goalie and still your starter, I'm not even convinced of that. But if your star goalie does not get right immediately and your star winger cannot stay on the ice, this series is already over. Even if Vegas, quote, just held serve, because that's not what they did. And if you look at history, history would indicate the teams that win the first two games at home in the Stanley Cup Final almost never, ever lose the rest of the series. So you're in trouble. You're on, wait for it, thin ice. Hey-oh. Jimbo
Everybody's
Slice.
Breathe.
Everybody just bleeping breathe. Jimbo Slice, everybody just bleeping breathe. Signed the buffet owner to his staff as they watch Jeff in Richmond being forklifted to the entrance. V in the fee. War more time in the penalty box.
Everybody just breathe.
V in the fee. High volume shooter. V and the Fee, the former ex-watch lister. You got like a former watch lister going at a champ. Former, in this corner, former ex-watch lister from Menifee going up against, in this corner, the former champ. By the way, I know you're trying to make the point, you're fighting out of your weight class, but in more way than one. All right? Especially if you're bringing a forklift to this fight. You don't want to bring a forklift to a knife fight. Hey, Jim. As a Calgary Flames fan, I had the privilege of watching Matthew Tkachuk play here for 6 years. He's gritty, and he plays without a lot of heart during the regular season. Nothing is more scrumptious than watching him play in the Stanley Cup Final, only to watch it all slip away. Bella B. in Calgary.
Scrumptious.
You meant with a lot of heart, not without a lot of heart. Bitter much? Scrumptious much?
Scrumptious.
Bella, you know hockey. And I know that you love when I taw hockey. Bella, you know the guy's a great player.
I love when you taw.
When it matters most. And even when it doesn't. He's a great player. But I know you're enjoying it. All right, when we come back, change up, talk a little baseball. Christian Walker joins me at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Hour number 3 straight ahead.